Hi everyone. Thanks for downloading this latest episode of Fancy a Brew podcast. It's Lucy here. Just a quick note to let you know that Erin and I gabbed on for far too long when we recorded this episode, so we've decided to split it into two parts. This is the first part, and we'll release the next part in the next few days. Hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Fancy a Brew Pod on Instagram and fancyabrewpod@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. See you soon. Bye.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Hello and welcome to Fancy a Brew. My name is Lucy and I'm joined via Skype by my lovely pal Aaron.
Well, hello there.
Hi. We thought we'd come back and do another sort of life in quarantine catch-up episode. We're gonna talk about all things what have been going on in our lives, mostly, you know, quarantine related, because that's kind of what's going on for everyone, isn't it, at the moment. It's Easter bank holiday Monday. Aaron's off work, so we're having a rare lunchtime catch-up. Often, you know, it's a sort of an evening cup of tea and a brew and a something stronger, but I've got Diet Coke. And what have you got?
I have a quarantine.
Look at you! Aaron is just... So, I can see I'm in three olives in that glass.
And that's my picture for the Instagram.
Oh my God, I feel so tame with my bloody Diet Coke.
Why not? I tell you, all that's happened in quarantine for me is I've slid further into alcoholism. But I suppose the difference between me and everybody else is I work for an online supermarket, so I have never been busier.
No, I bet you haven't.
How's quarantine going for you anyway? What's new in the Critchley household?
Well, Edie is 4 months old now, which feels bad. And there is a big... Thank you. I've kept her alive for 4 months. Bloody hell. There's a big development that happens with babies around the 4 month mark. So she's going through all that at the moment. And I think she's teething. So she's quite grumpy. She's quite cranky. And she'll, you know, sometimes she's like the happiest little baby. She's so giggly and laughing and smiling, and then like an instant it's like a whole world's come tumbling down and that's it. She's just like in tears. Just, it was so hard to console her sometimes. Luckily she's having an afternoon nap at the moment, so things are a bit more chilled in the house at the moment, but it's been a hard couple of days, I'm not gonna lie. So hopefully she'll be in a better mood when she's had a bit of a snooze. I think it's just every time I look at her now, she's like, she's getting bigger, she's growing, and it's amazing to see, but bloody hell, she could be hard work.
Maybe I've been teething for 37 years. Maybe. Oh, 36 years and 8 months, because you said around the 4 month
mark.
Because it was, I enjoyed my birthday in quarantine this year.
Quite different. We have got things that will keep us busy during this time. Like, you know, obviously Edie she doesn't care that we're in lockdown. You know, she doesn't know. She doesn't have any idea that the world as we know it is different. You know, yeah. She's got no clue. And I suppose for you, everyone needs to eat, needs their food, needs all the other bits and pieces that they can have delivered from you guys. So
I mean, I'm quite lucky in that I don't necessarily work for the retail arm. So I work for the international engineering team. Mm-hmm. So my role is to make sure all our brand new American sites are all, people are trained before they open, which is quite a challenge considering we can't find anybody to the UK for training right now. So my days usually start about 7:30, and then I'm in conference calls till about 5-6 o'clock at night. Yeah. So my days are busier than they were in the office, because the conversations that I'll be having face-to-face with people, the short five-minute conversations turn into 15, 30-minute, hour-long conference calls.
That's it. No one can just, like, wander by a desk and be like, oh, do you know about this? Can you explain this to me? Or let's talk about this. You can't have that anymore. No one can just pop by you and ask you what, like, a quick question. It just turns into a longer, bigger thing, doesn't it?
But it also means I'm a lot more, not that I'm not productive at work, but I'm more productive because people are not hassling me all the time and I can switch off. So I was really concerned because it's now, as we're recording this, it's Easter Monday, lunchtime on Easter Monday, while I'm having a quarantine.
I'm just jealous, really. I might go and get a beer.
My dirty martini. I was really concerned that this four-day weekend would go really, really slowly, because I've kind of exhausted everything on Netflix and Disney Plus and Prime Video and all the other streaming services I pay for. The time would just stop. But what I've got into over this Easter weekend is running in the allotted time that I'm allowed to run. So anybody's like, you're breaking the rules. I'm not breaking the rules. And what's been really interesting is I've seen friends and people more, and people I hadn't thought were that close as friends have been in touch more, if that makes sense. So I've got so many different WhatsApp group messages going on.
That's nice.
To the point where one of my friends sent me it's a bit of a dirty video. And instead of sending it to my group of, like, gay friends, I sent it to my work colleagues. And it wasn't graphic or anything, legal or anything, but it was, let's just put it this way, it was definitely X-rated.
Top shelf.
I quickly went on and deleted it for everyone, you know, as you can do on WhatsApp. And then messaged my other colleague separately who's in that group and said, did you by any chance see what I posted? She's like, no, just this message was deleted and then all these nice things underneath. I was like, thank God for that. But I've had a lot of people, I think because I live on my own and everybody's quite social creatures, I think there's been a concern that I might struggle in this situation a little bit. So every now and then I'll get a message from you, you know, are you all right? Are you okay? Then, you know, every couple of hours, a different friend will then message.
Are we doing your head in?
No, not at all. It's lovely, actually. No. Don't take that the wrong way.
Just like, stop messaging me. I'm fine.
No. What I'm leading to is when this is nothing. This is easy for me. This is a really easy situation for me to be in, because when I was a child, my mother would, and I feel like this pod is just my therapy session, talking about my mum like I do my therapist. She would isolate me and kind of turn the rest of the family against me and wouldn't talk to me for weeks at a time when I was a child.
Really?
So this is an absolute piece of piss for me. I've been preparing for this my entire life.
It's coming in handy.
So for me, when people are like, you all right? I'm like, let's see. I'm being paid to be at home. Granted, I'm stuck in these four walls, you know, no balcony, which is, you know, there are worse things to be upset about, but the windows do open fully. I work for a grocer, so I can have my stuff delivered directly to my door. I live close enough to all the delivery spots to have delivery. So, for example, the other day, right, I ran out of Prosecco. So I deliveroed the local Italian restaurant and had two bottles of Prosecco for the weekend sent over. And then there was a queue. So I live opposite at Sainsbury's, right? And when it got to the bank holiday weekend, there was a queue down the entire street, right?
Mad, isn't it?
It's bonkers, right? But everybody seems to go at the same time. But the good thing is, because I live opposite it, when there's no queue, I can see there's no queue and I can go straight over. But the queue was going down all the way down the street. And usually from about 11 o'clock in the morning, there's not really a queue there now, but from 11 o'clock in the morning till about 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, there's a queue down the whole street. So you're not going to get in. And Deliveroo do this new thing called Deliveroo Essentials.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, as the Morrison's here partnered with us, so you can get, you know, various bits and pieces if you need it dead quick on delivery.
Yeah, so the Morrisons are on it and the Co-op are on it, but there's this separate thing that's just called Essentials Badges.
Right, okay.
And it's got like pasta sauce, and toilet rolls and stuff like that. So, and I was really craving chocolate. So I had 2 packs of chocolate, some Tang Fastic and some milk delivered. I know, so bougie, right?
World.
And a load of biscuits as well. So that's the one thing I'm worried about in quarantine. I seem to have acquired, I think everybody expected me to become more of an alcoholic. It wasn't the alcoholism that's the problem. It's my addiction to biscuits. I can't just have one.
It's hard, isn't it?
I know, and I'm a fat bitch. I can't just eat one. It's one pack, not one biscuit.
Yeah.
I just can't leave it.
Oh, mate. Choco Leibniz. I'll just eat the whole lot.
You know, they've got them on special in the Sainsbury's across the road, and I'm like, I need to resist, because...
Oh, yeah. Those chocolatey bastards. I'll have them all. I can't help myself. If I open them, I'd be like, I'll have like one or two now, dip it in my brew. Fine. But then I know that once I've had that second one, that's it. It's a gateway for the rest of the packet. I don't know why I'm kidding myself.
It's a gateway drug.
It's a gateway biscuit.
So quarantine for me has actually been quite nice. I live on my own anyway, so I'm used to spending a lot of time on my own. I listen to a lot of podcasts, I read, I've a very busy job. So for me, quarantine it's affected a lot of other people more specifically than me, because I'm an introvert naturally, but I hide that introversion through extroversion. So for me, being on my own isn't an issue, but for a lot of other people, a lot of colleagues of mine have really, really struggled being inside with their family for that long period of time. And there were a few different things I saw on the news. The Albert Kennedy Trust, which is an LGBTQIA+ LNRP, may have added a few extra letters. They were saying to people that actually, during this time, don't come out the closet, because if you're in quarantine, your family don't take it very well. That's not a good...
Oh, wow, yeah. I hadn't really thought about it in that context.
No, and domestic violence has increased by 25%, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, reports have come in, haven't they? 25% more calls to charities for help. And I don't know if you saw, but there's a person on Instagram called Mother Pucker, which is a great name. Great name, isn't it?
There's a chicken shop called Mother Cluckers in London.
That is fab. Mother Pucker has worked with Women's Aid and Refuge and the National Rail to organise for free train travel for women who need to escape domestic violence so that they can get to, like, nearby refuges, or you know, to get to somewhere that will help them. So I think that's been a good thing to have come out of all of this, you know, like the horrible things that could happen as a result of being in quarantine. There is, you know, there's still a way out, which I think, you know, helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really sad that everybody's kind of stuck in these situations.
Yeah, it is. We had a similar thing growing up, and you know, if we didn't have family nearby, I think we would have really struggled, because how do you get out of a situation like that when someone's so manipulative and abusive? It's hard. It takes a lot of courage.
It does, and I've often and please. I'm coming at this from my perspective of never being in that situation. I don't understand why people stay in that situation. I don't know if they know it's wrong or whatever. That's coming from naivety and ignorance, not from...
I think, for us, my mum had a horrible time with... a partner that she was with for a long time, and a lot of it is sort of mental manipulation and makes you think that you're the one that's wrong, or that you've made it up and it's nowhere near as bad as it might sound, or, you know, like, it'll never happen again and you believe it. And, you know, like, there comes to a point, doesn't there, where, for my mum it did anyway, where it was like, well, actually, she'd had enough, you know, something happened and it was like, right, this is it. I can't put up with this anymore. Why should I put up with this now? But I think it takes a lot to get to that point, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you know, I've been in emotionally difficult situations. I suppose you always make excuses for somebody, don't you?
And yeah, like, well, totally. You know. Yeah, if you love them, you think, oh, well, we'll work through this and it'll be fine. But you know, you can't. People aren't going to necessarily change in that way.
No,
they're always going to be an arsehole.
they are. No, simple as, people are assholes. There we go. That's what we got out of this.
People are assholes.
And
thanks
tell
for
you,
listening.
please continue to listen. You're all assholes. do you know, speaking of weird situations, it's in a couple of days, it will have been a year since I had the gastric band.
Yeah.
I remember us talking about that and all the therapy. And what was really interesting the other day is a friend of mine messaged me and she said, I've listened to the whole podcast series. I've listened from beginning to end during quarantine.
Wow. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Vanessa. And she said, you're like a different person. She was like, so calm compared to how you used to be. You don't fly off the handle. You don't. I mean, we all have those moments. She was like, but you've not really responded the way you would have responded, because I used to work with her in Leeds. We used to work together, and I was very emotionally volatile, let's put it that way. I think because as a child we were allowed to have emotions, so when we're allowed to have them we would flare up and do all this kind of stuff. And she's like,
you don't
really
know what
nice
to do with it, do you?
Yeah, exactly, because you've never been allowed to have that emotion before about somebody else. But it was quite interesting her perspective on that. And I think a lot of that, you know, is down to your recommendation, I think, and having those conversations, because my therapist is just, we get on really, really well. She's absolutely lovely. She emails me during the week. She's like, I've just been to this restaurant. I think you'd really like it. Oh, she's fine that. And they do 2-for-1 on martinis. I thought you'd like it there. Well, she's like, how do I get a slot for delivery? I'm like, I wish I could get you one, but I can't get anyone at the moment. So yeah, it's been a weird year. Because, I mean, I had the operation in April and then I started as a secondment into a new job about 6 months after that was for a 6-month period. So my secondment is due to end in 3 weeks' time.
Well, that happens.
I don't know how I can put this while everyone else is struggling. I've really struggled with this, actually, that other people are losing their jobs, but I've just got a promotion.
Well done.
Quarantine. And I feel really, really bad about it. I feel awful about it because other people are really struggling, and it's only because of the industry that I'm in. That's, you know.
Well, that's it. Like, that's the focus. Like, if you were still working in, I don't know, if you're working on the bike stuff that you used to work on, that wouldn't be happening, would it? Because, you know, it'd be happening in that industry.
No, absolutely not. No. So. To be quite honest, I was speaking to my friend this morning. We have a virtual coffee every couple of days.
Oh, I like that.
We sat having this coffee this morning. And she was like, how are you coping in quarantine? How's it all going? And everybody keeps asking me the same question. I'm like, do you know what? I'm fine with it. And I really am quite chill about it. You know, when you're like, he's being a bit passive aggressive. At some point, he's given an emotional breakdown. He's just pretending that everything's fine. Genuinely, it's fine. But what I was saying to her is, when I go back to work properly, I'm quite going to miss being working from home and all this stuff. I mean, you've just started your own like business doing working from home type stuff, haven't you?
Oh, hello.
Did you like how I did that?
I do. We haven't actually thought about this, have we? No, well, so.
Did you like that link to a story about Lucy?
It was not expected. Let me tell you that. It was not expected. So, my plan is that in the next couple of months, I want to make sure it's right to launch it and stuff before, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to run before I can walk. But I'm planning on setting up a virtual assistant business so that I can kind of do the things that I do for, you know, in TV and radio, but I can do those for businesses. A lot of the skills are really transferable. You know, there's a lot of admin-based stuff. There's a lot of booking travel. There's a lot of spreadsheet business. There's a lot of organising people and all kinds of stuff. So I think they will be valuable to a business as well as, you know, to TV and radio companies. And I would like to do more work from home, especially now I've got a tiny child. And I just think it's the right time in terms of, you know, we're in this lockdown for God knows how long. I can work remotely. I'm happy to work remotely. And, you know, if this quarantine gives me the chance to put the time and effort into building a website properly and to thinking clearly about the services I can offer and my rates and, you know, setting everything up in a way that's not just like, I'm going to do this and put myself out there and not really give it much thought, you know, like I want to plan it and I want it to be proper. So that's what I've been working on.
And how's it all going?
I mean, I'm still in the kind of planning stages and building a website. I've got a few bits and pieces kind of lined up and I know what my list of services are that I'll be able to offer. I kind of have clients anyway because it's work that I have done for friends and stuff over the past couple of years. So it's just really formalising that, really. Although, I haven't told you this, there's a website called Upwork where you can find sort of freelance jobs. And I thought I'll have a look on there, see about all that, see if there's any opportunities. And this person got in touch and was like, oh, I think you'd really be able to help me out. I've got this business. It'll be a lot of like data entry and a few of the bits and pieces. Turns out, mate, big scam.
So, oh no.
Yeah, I know, right? So it never got anywhere, but it was so obviously like dodge. So they wanted to take it outside of the job platform, which is like a no-no. And then they said, I'll pay you up front. I thought, fine, I'm happy for that. But then it was like, I'm gonna pay you X amount, and then you have to pay so-and-so this money so that they can provide you with the materials that you need to get started. And I was like, well, what are the materials? Because, you know, like I have a computer and I have Office and I have the Apple version of Office and I have, you know, like, all, you know, various bits and pieces. And it was like, we're going to provide you with a MacBook, all this kind of, you know, like Office and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't need that because I've got it. And also the amount of money would not have bought a MacBook full stop. So so I just ignored the email. And then I got a letter, God, what planet am I on? I got an email through from Upwork to say that this person had breached the terms and conditions of the platform. So clearly it's such a scam.
Wow.
And I'd read a few things online. What happens is when they say, oh, you need to pay this person, they then say, oh, they haven't received the money, so that you then, you know, you're potentially, like, you potentially they have to find that money from somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Or they try,
yeah,
and, like,
I mean, get I,
It's so dodgy.
Whenever anybody asks me to pay for anything online, I immediately am like, no. I'm Northern. Yeah. So there's one group of people you are never, ever, ever going to... if you were to look at a map of the UK, I think like the least kind of people who are done for fraud are probably going to be Yorkshire people, because we are so painfully tight that
there's no way. This is not happening.
I was talking to my sister this morning, and she was saying, I'm going to make this like breaded chicken thing that's covered in parmesan and sauce. And I was like, she's like, yeah, chicken parmesan. I was like that's a Burra recipe, and it's
yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was like, no. Italy, they would call it, is it Milanese alla parmigiana or something like that?
Yeah.
And Burra, it's like chicken parm.
I was like,
that's a Burra thing for you. They love it's up there.
We do. That's our equivalent to like a kebab after we've been to the pub. Get a parmo to go on with. Yeah.
Whereas in Leeds, I like the fact they've got bouncers on the doors of the Greggs.
Oh my God. So what are they doing in Newcastle?
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a Greggs in Newcastle.
Have a Malibu Coke and then I'll have a chicken bake.
There's a Greggs that's open in Newcastle till like 2 a.m. and they've got bouncers on the door. I think it's wonderful. Not the bouncers bit, but just the fact that Greggs is open till 2 a.m. I mean, when you've been out on the pot, you definitely would just want a chicken bake, don't you? Or like a sausage roll or something.
Which is, yeah.
Delightful.
How are you? Sorry, go on.
Mr. No.
Sorry.
Mr. Northy. Go on.
I'm not sure if I miss some people like you, my sister, family,
yeah,
who I like, but I don't miss the small town mentality. Yeah. You know, the slight undercurrent of racism and xenophobia. That's the bit I don't miss.
It's like fear of the unknown, I think.
Yeah,
that's the way that I kind of put it to myself. Because I've noticed that.
Beautiful part of it. Malham. Oh, I just love Malham. That's like my go-to place whenever I come home.
It's really pretty. It's home though, isn't it? That's the way I look at it. While it has its faults, Borough certainly has its faults.
Oh, yes. And I do. I have a lot of faults.
Well, that's it, you know, same. But
which
actually,
is using the wrong guard on my hair, so now I have a literally skinhead. I look like I'm in the BNP.
You'll fit right in then.
Yeah. Somebody messaged me the day and said, you look really masculine. And I said, should I have like a product warning on the side of my head that says, this product may not actually contain masculinity.
like a big neck tattoo.
Oh, wow. Not Aaron. No, I'm disagreeing with what you're saying. You're like, yeah, absolutely. The biggest neck tattoo you can possibly get.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the way.
Speaking of quarantine and isolation and all the rest of it, the thing that's been the most unnerving for me is I live next to the giant NHS Nightingale Hospital, which is at the Excel Centre. So there's a bridge, I think it's called the Connaught Bridge, which goes between the Royal Albert Dock and the Royal Victoria Dock. So it's in between the two. Literally, it's the bit that separates the two of them. So you've got the Royal Victoria Dock on one side, which has the Excel Centre, and then you've got the Royal Albert Dock on the other side, which has London City Airport. City Airport is closed. So the flights that usually fly over my apartment every 15 minutes, it's super quiet. But because it's so quiet, there's nobody out, there's no traffic, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. All you can hear is the Sky News copter flying round whenever they're doing those live shots at the Excel Centre, or emergency helicopters and Chinooks that come over like every half an hour. A little bit unnerving. So although I'm trying to go out for like a run on a morning, the running route is past the Excel Centre, not literally next to it, but past the Excel Centre, which is a bit concerning. So I'm trying to stay healthy. How are you staying healthy? Because you've got a massive garden. I mean, I apologise if that sounds like sexual innuendo, but you have a massive garden. It's a very impressive garden.
I've got a massive garden, guys. Been trying my best to cultivate it. It's been really good, I can't deny that, and I do feel very lucky to have got outdoor space.